Hebrews chapter 12 is where we are. We're on a series called Running Well and Finishing Strong. Today we're going to pick up right where we left off from last Sunday at the very end of verse 1. And let's go ahead and read Hebrews 12, 1 in its entirety. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance or patience the race marked out for us," or the race that is set before us. Today I want to focus on that last phrase, the race marked out for us, the race that is set before us, yours may say. There's so much to talk about in that one tiny phrase from verse 1. But I want to give you just a few simple things to think about this morning and take with you as you leave here and as you go through your week. The first thing that we need to understand as we run this race of life is that we must run according to the rules. We must run according to the rules. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:5, "If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules." Most of you have probably had the joyous experience of going to a t-ball game. When Nick was real little, he played t-ball. And I'm telling you, you talk about a comedy of errors going to watch a t-ball game. What happens more often than not when one of those little kids goes up and he grabs the bat and he swings and hits the ball? Where does he normally run? He usually just takes off for third base for some reason. I don't know how they missed that in the coaching, or else he heads right across the center of the field and just says, "Well, I'm just going to go on to second." But normally, you know, they hit the ball and they all just turn left and they go to third. I guess they figure they're going to save some time and just not even waste the energy going around all the bases. And, you know, we laugh at that when kids are little, and that's real cute and everything, but that wouldn't fly in the major leagues. Imagine Alex Rodriguez. How many hundreds of millions does he make now for hitting a baseball? Imagine Alex Rodriguez getting up, and it's in the World Series, and he hits the ball into the outfield, and he just turns left and runs to third base. I mean, how ridiculous would that be? And he could argue his case with the umpire as passionately as he wanted to. He'd be out, no matter what he thought. And he could say, "Look, I'm tired of playing by the rules. I don't want to follow these rules anymore. I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing." The umpire would say, "Pal, you're out. You didn't follow the rules of the game." Imagine when Michael Jordan was playing basketball, how bizarre it would be to see him tuck the ball under his arm and run all the way down the court and slam it in the basket. Again, he could argue all he wanted. He could say, "I'm the greatest player in the history of basketball. You don't tell me what to do. I will play how I feel like playing." They say, "Well, man, you can go and play on your own court however you feel like playing, but when you play here, you are subject to the rules of the game just like everybody else." If you were playing a game of checkers with somebody and they decided that they were going to jump 4 pieces in one move, I doubt you'd continue playing with them. You'd get pretty upset about it. You'd go, "What are you doing? You can't do that in checkers. Everybody knows you have to jump one piece at a time, and you can only move diagonally across the board." "Well, I don't feel like playing that way. I want to play how I want to play." Why is it that in all of life, whether it's obeying traffic laws or watching sports and understanding that there are rules to the games, why is it that in all of life, people seem to have no trouble whatsoever understanding that there are rules that govern those things? And yet when it comes to church, when it comes to God, when it comes to this book, people all of a sudden have real problems. Well, don't you tell me what to do. I don't have to live by anybody else's rules. If we're going to run this race of life and run well and finish strong, we need to understand that there are rules that govern the race that we're in. If you entered a marathon and decided halfway through that you didn't want to make the whole course of 26.2 miles, you knew of a shortcut you could take. And you could cut through some back streets and cut through the middle of town and come out on the other side right near the finish line. Well, you might cross the finish line and say, "Hey, man, I got the best time of all." They'd laugh at you and say, "You're crazy. You're disqualified. You didn't run the race that was marked out. You didn't run according to the rules." How in the world do we find the rules for life? Well, they're right here in this book. This is why in our church documents, the very first thing we have listed is that we believe in the Word of God, and we will stand upon this book no matter what comes. Folks, it doesn't matter what I think. I've told you that many times before. If I got up here and started preaching, "You know, Jesus was a good man, but I've discovered another way that you can get to God," would you have a problem with that? Would you? You better have. Why? Because we understand that we must live the Christian life by the rule book. This book is truth. It is absolute truth. And I can tell you this, as long as I am in my right mind, and as long as I am here in this church, this is going to be our standard. I don't care who likes it or who doesn't like it, frankly. This is it. This is the rule book to tell us how to live the Christian life, how to be like Christ, how to run well and finish strong. The very first rule, friend, that you must understand to this life is that you must be born again. That's the starting line. You must be born again. Well, I know people in the world say, "Well, it doesn't matter how you get to God as long as you're sincere." Really? My rule book says otherwise, and so does the one in your lap. John 14:6. I preached on that verse a couple of Easters ago. I entitled the message, "The Most Narrow-Minded Statement Ever Made." Jesus was telling the disciples, "I'm going to be going away, I'm going to the Father," and they were panicking, saying, "How do we know where you're going? How do we follow you there?" He turned to them and he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He spoke some incredible words to a brilliant man named Nicodemus, a very influential man in Jerusalem, a member of the Sanhedrin. Boy, you read the rules on what was required for you to be a member of that group. Nicodemus was no backyard buffoon. He was a very intelligent, very influential man. He came to Jesus by night. He was missing something in his heart, and he came and met with Jesus at night. Jesus said to him, "You must be born again. You must be born again." That's the starting point of running the race of life. Let me ask you, friends, before we move on, have you been born again? I know a lot of people say, "Well, that's an old-fashioned term, Phil. You shouldn't use that. We should improve it a little bit, make it a little softer, a little nicer sounding." No, no. Have you been born again? Have you been saved, friend? You see, I've told you, it's not about going to church services. It's about giving your life to Jesus Christ, realizing that you are lost without Him, that you are lost in this life without Him, and that you will be lost for eternity without Him. He sent His Son to pay the price for your sins. Have you been saved? Do you know of a place and a time in your life that you can look back to and say, I remember when I surrendered my heart to Jesus Christ. I asked him to forgive my sins and to come into my life, for the Holy Spirit to come into my body and make me a new creation. Do you remember a time like that in your life? Have you been saved? Friend, if you haven't, today's the day. Now is the time of salvation. Don't put this off. If you've missed that first rule, I guarantee you, you're running the wrong race. But once we're saved, we must continue to follow God's commands. We must continue to live by the rules in His Word. Now, be very careful and listen. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about a list of rules that I post. No, no. From God's Word. We as believers, if we're running this race, must follow the rules. When you're watching an athletic event and the players are playing by the rules, do you sit in the stands and yell, "Legalists!" No, you don't. Because they're playing according to the rules. They have submitted themselves to the rules of the game. Nobody has a problem with that. And yet again, so often as believers, some of you and myself at times tend to look at God's Word every once in a while and say, God, that's too harsh. Come on, that's not fair. We don't have a problem abiding by the traffic laws and the rules of athletics, but sometimes we have a problem abiding by the rules of God's Word. I do too. And unless you're from Mars, you experience the same things in your life. But this is the rule book. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You want to know the rules for running this race of the Christian life? It's here in God's Word. His Word will light the path for you so that you can know where to go. Some people say, God's rules are too heavy, man. All that churchy stuff. God's just trying to keep me from having fun. Listen, guys, I don't have time to follow that thought today, but I just want to tell you something. The commands in God's Word were never designed to keep you from having fun in life. It's like me telling my kids that they can't eat candy for breakfast. Well, when they were younger, they thought that was cruel. But as they get older, they'll see the wisdom in that. No, kids, you can't run across the street without looking. Why? Because I don't want them to have fun? No. Because I want them to live and experience what life is all about. The commands in God's Word are not heavy. They're not to weigh us down. They're not to discourage us from enjoying life. They're to give us life. His commands give us life. The Bible even says in 1 John 5 that His commands are not burdensome. They're not burdensome. But I'll tell you what, folks. Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of the transgressor is hard. If you want to know what a hard life is all about, if you want to know what it's like to walk around with burdens on you, then just go your own way. Disobey God's commands, and I guarantee you, you'll find out how hard the way is. Really is. We need to run according to the rules. I wish I had more time to pursue that this morning. God's Word is our guidebook for life. We must run according to what it says. And check me out, by the way. I've told you this before. When I stand up here and teach, don't just take it by spoonfuls and say, well, he must know what he's talking about. Go look it up. If I'm wrong, let's talk about it. But we must follow God's word. It's critical. It's critical if we are to run the race marked out for us. Not only must we run according to the rules, but we must run the right course. We need to make sure we're on the course that God has marked out for us. I remember hearing a story a number of years ago about a very well-known woman runner who was invited to compete in a sort of a smaller race. It wasn't a huge thing like the Boston Marathon or the New York City Marathon, but she was invited to compete in somewhat of a smaller race in Connecticut. So the day of the race, she woke up, she drove from her home in New York City and began to drive to Connecticut following the directions that had been given to her over the phone, or so she thought she was following the directions. She got to this little town and just drove around and around and couldn't find where she was going, and so she stopped at a gas station and asked the attendant where the race was. She said, I know there's a race, I'm supposed to be running soon, and where is it? And he said, well, I do know of a race up the road a ways. He gave her directions there. She drove and pulled into the parking lot of this mall and saw a pretty small number of runners, much smaller than she had anticipated. And so she thought, well, this is going to be an easier race than I thought. So she got out and she walked over to the registration table. And she gave her name, and she was kind of surprised to see how excited these people were to have such a well-renowned runner coming to their race. They didn't have any paperwork for her. She thought, well, this must be just some kind of a glitch. Something got lost. You know, she said, no, I'm supposed to be here. And they said, well, wonderful. We're glad you're here. And, you know, register real quick, and you can go get your number and warm up and enter the race. She went to the starting line. The gun sounded, and off she went. And she ran the race, and she easily beat everybody in the race. In fact, she was about 4 minutes ahead of the second finish, the guy who finished second. You know, sometimes words just kind of don't come out right. She was 4 minutes ahead of the guy who finished in second. And it wasn't until after the race was over that she realized that there was no prize purse that she had been told about. She began to talk to the officials and see what was going on, and it dawned on her what had happened. She had gone to the wrong town. The race that she had registered for was several miles away in another town. She had gone to the wrong starting line. She had run the wrong race, and she had missed out on a chance to win the prize of the other race. See, the thing is, the Bible tells us that God has set before us a race to run. And if you're running your own race, then you're headed for the wrong finish line. I'm not talking about the general call of God on our lives. I think that's abundantly clear from Scripture. Any of us can open this book and we can look into it and we can see God's will for life. It's very clear. What I'm talking about is sort of one level deeper than that, and that is, what is God's will for you as an individual? What race has God marked out for you to run? You see, while all of us are running in the Christian race, those of us who are saved, and God has made His general will, His moral will clear for us in His Word, each of us, I believe, has a race marked out for us. The Apostle Paul's race was very different from Stephen's race. Stephen was called to run in a race that had a finish line very early in the race. Stephen was stoned to death as a young man. His race was very different from Paul's race. Paul's race was very different from Mary's race. She had a certain call that she was to follow, a race that she was to run. Whenever Jesus calls a person to follow him, he calls them to something. He doesn't just call us to sit around and kind of wait for whatever. He calls us to something. There's a purpose in his calling. When he called the fishermen, he said to them, "Come follow me and we'll just hang out together and see what happens." No, that's not what he said. He said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He had a clear purpose in mind for them. When God called you to his family, he called you for a purpose. He called you for a reason. And it's important that you and I follow the course that has been set before us. I wonder if you've ever asked God what course he wants you to run. Have you ever prayed and said, "God, what is your will for my life? What do you want me to do?" You say, "Well, I don't know what God wants me to do." Have you asked him? Have you asked him? You want to see God do great things through your life? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know." Maybe some of you here today feel like the race that you're running is leading nowhere. Perhaps God's trying to get your attention and tell you that you're running the wrong race. You're not running the course that he has marked out for you. I remember a time so clearly in my life when I was running a race, all right. And boy, I was moving fast. But I began to feel an emptiness in all of the things that I was doing in the business world and felt this tug of God on my heart that I was running in the wrong direction. I was headed for the wrong finish line. And I remember so clearly the moments that God would intercept my course and he would speak to me and begin to tug me in a different direction. And I remember processing through all of that. One particular morning, I went to a men's breakfast thing at a church I was attending. And I don't even remember who the speaker was that morning. It was in a restaurant here in Greenville, and there were a bunch of guys there, and I was just kind of sitting there hanging out like a fly on the wall, just watching and listening. And really, I was thinking about the meeting that I had coming up in just a couple of hours and what I was going to say and what we were going to talk about. But God took that moment for me and he really, really spoke to my heart and said, "Phil, you're running the wrong race. You're headed for the wrong finish line. There's another course that I've marked out for you that I want you to run." And I'll never forget leaving that restaurant, getting in my car and driving some distance, about 40 minutes or so, to this meeting. And I cried the whole way there. I was a wreck. Because I knew that God was speaking to my heart and he was calling me in another direction. And it was so clear to me that I was on the wrong course. And I remember sitting in my car in the parking lot of this hospital that was one of our clients and trying to, you know, guys don't use makeup, so I didn't really have any way to make myself look better, but I knew I just looked like a wreck. And then I had to go into this meeting. I guess, you know, everybody saw my bloodshot eyes and thought maybe I'd had a rough night the night before or something. I don't know, but it was moments like that that happened again and again and again on the course that I was on where God would intercept me and he'd say, "Phil, you're running in the wrong direction. There's something else I want you to do with your life." And he was beginning to change my course, and I was beginning for the first time to pay attention to what he was telling me. Maybe there's some of you here this morning, you're running a course in life, but you've been sensing the Holy Spirit tugging at you, saying, you need to adjust your course. You're not running the course that I have set before you, that I've laid out before you. I want to tell you, church, God has the best plans for you, better than you could plan for yourself. And if you ask God to reveal His will for you and you seek His word, He will show you. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, dare I even quote this? We've heard it so much we don't even really listen to it anymore. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a pivotal verse about finding your way in life and running the right course. Trust in the Lord, it says, with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Very simply this morning, I want to ask you, are you running the course that has been set before you? There may be times in life when God sets a course before us that we don't really like. Anybody ever been there besides me? I remember as a kid, my parents, you know, I grew up on the mission field, and it's pretty bad when a missionary kid on the mission field is a picky eater. That's just a bad thing, right? Because that's very embarrassing to parents. Here we are on the mission field, and my kid's a picky eater. Well, I went through a phase where I was a picky eater, and then I grew out of it, and I was fine. Still don't like Brussels sprouts, but that's beside the point. But I was a picky eater at one point, and I remember so many times my mom or my dad saying, you eat what is set before you. I still remember that phrase. I don't know where that came from. I guess it's an old school phrase. But I remember that specifically. Son, you eat what is set before you. Sometimes in life, God sets a course before us that we don't want to eat. Maybe it's a job situation. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's directional. Who knows? He sets a course before us, and I'm telling you, it's hard to chew, and it's hard to swallow. But God knows what He is doing in your life. Do you trust Him enough as your Heavenly Father to say, Lord, whatever course you set before me, that's where I want to go. Hey, this church has had some moments of God setting a certain course before us, and I looked at that and said, I don't know how we're going to swallow that one. I don't know how we're going to run that course. It doesn't make any sense, but God has been faithful every step of the way. Are you on the right course this morning? Are you running the right race? See, here's the thing, guys. It doesn't matter how far you get in life if you're running in the wrong direction. It doesn't matter. Someone once said that he climbed the ladder to the top only to realize when he got there that the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. Wow. Are you running the course that has been set before you? If not, if you feel that the Holy Spirit is trying to nudge you in a different direction, ask God to show you. He will. I close with Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. It says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Running the path that is set before you. Let's pray. Father, I pray you would take this very simple message this morning, perhaps almost too elementary, And I pray, Lord, that you would use it in someone's heart today. Lord, maybe most of us here know all this stuff, and we just feel like, wow, I already know that. I know that God's word is the rule book. I know I'm supposed to be on the right path. I know I'm supposed to seek his will. But God, this is the message you had for today. And I believe maybe there's someone here today who just needed to hear these elemental truths of your word. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone this morning here or anyone listening over the internet who has just been running and running and running but feel like they're headed nowhere, I ask you, Father, you would speak to them through your word, encourage their heart, help them to know that you have called them to a purpose. And I pray they would find the right path in life, the one you've marked out for them to run. Help us, Lord, not to have our eyes on other runners, not to wish we were running someone else's course, but help us to run with joy and with patience and perseverance the race that has been marked out for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.